not because that Deanna is in a family way or anything. I just didn't want any rumors going on that direction. What's going on here is Reese has been in training in the Air Force, and they were originally thinking about getting married in a year, but then they decided that they really didn't want to wait any longer, so they were going to get married here in another couple of weeks. And then I believe it was late Monday night, early Tuesday morning, they got the word that he was going to be deployed first part of August, and his leave got changed. So he arrives on the 10th, too. So both Mike and Reese will be arriving on Tuesday, and the wedding is on Wednesday. So timing is important. Everybody needs to get here. Okay. Oh. I knew I had sermon notes somewhere. Well, good morning. It's good to see you. It's good to be seen, and it's good to see some faces I haven't seen for a while. We kind of, it's a summer thing. We get people rotating in through. Some people are gone, and some people are here, and people come and go. But please remember to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ who are traveling and on vacation and just doing things with family. Some just have lake places or things going on. And they're not here every week. And while we miss them, they still need to be in our prayers. We need to not just pray for those who are here. We're going to move forward into our message. We're in Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to finish up chapter 9. We'll be looking at verses 16 through the end, verse 28. If you want to turn with me there or look up on the screen. And in the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it. Because a will is in force only when somebody has died, it never takes effect while the one who was made is living. That is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. When Moses had proclaimed every commandment of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves, together with water, scarlet wool, and branches of hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll on all the people. He said, "This is the blood of the covenant." I can't look up and read at the same time. Keep the glasses properly poised on the edge. He said, "This is the blood of the covenant, which God has commanded you to keep." In the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremony. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself. Now, to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now, he has appeared once for all at the end of all the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he may appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to be blessed by it and through it. that you would lead and guide us by giving us supernatural understanding here. Might your Holy Spirit show us how to apply your word. Give us understanding of what you're saying to us this day and the intents you have for us and how to use it daily. Lord, I pray for myself that as I come and preach this morning, that you would speak through me in power and in truth, or that your very Holy Spirit would speak through me, that your people here might be blessed. Lord, I pray that the word spoken that our view would go to the heart and to the mind and be lived out in the hands and the lives of all who are here. But Lord, anything that is not of you, Lord, might it be as if it was never spoken, forgotten before they even leave this room. Lord, in fact, might I not speak those words? Might I only speak that which brings honor and glory to your name and leads your people closer to you and is according to your will for this day. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God. Amen. Okay, for once and for all, I'm going to say this, right? What did I just mean when I say once and for all? It's an English idiom, which we all understand to mean that this is it, the end, the final time. We're going to do it this one time and we're done. It's finished. No more. You know, when Dad said, once and for all, this is the final answer, you know, we got the message that we weren't to bring the subject up again. It was done. That's the difference between the first covenant and the new covenant. The first covenant, the covenant of Moses, the covenant of the law, was a continual process of sacrifice, seeking forgiveness. Sacrifice, seeking forgiveness. Again and again. Literally, the temple was like a slaughterhouse with sacrifices. It was a slaughterhouse because the people continually sinned. Anybody here not know that? But we don't get that picture in our mind because we don't see that. But you got to remember who this letter was written to. It was written to the Hebrews. It was written to people who were very, very familiar with what went on in the temple. What was good about the law, what was bad about the law. What was good about what was going on in the temple and what was bad about it. I mean, the good part was you could go there and you were required to go there annually and to seek forgiveness. And you brought your critter, and if you didn't bring your critter with you, you bought one when you got there and you took it to the priest and it was sacrificed so that you could be forgiven of those sins which you had unintentionally made in that last year. Those oopses. There wasn't really any provision made for intentional sin. If you intentionally went out and killed somebody, well, the cure for that was a rock. A lot of them. Aimed at your head. And that was for intentional. There was no... If you intentionally did something contrary to God's law, the law said, that's it. You're done. For accidental infraction of the law, there was forgiveness that came at the price of blood. And that blood kept flowing. That sacrifice kept being made again and again. Last week I talked about it being disaster relief. That's what the first law was. That stopgap position. It's the sandbags that are laid out with the rising flood to try to hold it back. It's the coming in and putting up the tents after the disaster has swept through in an attempt to provide some sort of immediate care and shelter. The disaster, of course, being sin. And I likened the second law to being the new homes that are built, the permanent homes, like the ones that Christ is building for us in heaven, those mansions in heaven. The difference between the two. The difference is that instead of having to pack sandbag after sandbag and build all these temporary levees which get washed away, and now we're building that permanent levee. It's the second covenant. Once and for all, we're finally going to build a levee that will hold back sin. It's not going to flood in. The hurricane's not going to be able to wash out over. Tornado's not going to be able to knock it down. The flood surge won't wash it away. It'll hold it back. Once and for all. Once and for all, no longer does there have to be the shedding of blood at the altar for our sins, because Christ went to the cross. That's what that means. He went once. The author here says that if it wasn't once and for all, Jesus would have to be going again and again and again for all time, for all people. Because you had to have one critter for every person for every year. Well, that's a lot. How many people on this world? How many people have ever been on this world? How many people will ever populate this earth? And to have to do that for every year of each individual's life? That's more. It's not more than God is possible of doing, mind you. But no, he said, I'm not going to do it that way. That was the stopgap. Now we have the solution, the good news, the gospel message. That is that there is salvation. That is once for all. See, previously salvation was an annual deal, kind of a temporary thing. Oh, I'd missed my annual checkup. It's kind of like getting your shots. You know, I got a puppy. We got to get it in for shots. Well, why? You know, well, if I don't, you know, I could get a fine for one. But it could get sick. It could get rabies. It could get this temper. It could, I don't know all the things that they tell me. They tell me I got to do it. Well, I don't know all the things that could happen to me if I don't. But I do know that it does say here find it, where to go. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. I know I am destined to die. I get to die once, and then I face judgment. What about all these people we hear about that died and they bring them back? Well, they're not dead, okay? If you're dead, you didn't come back. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the Princess Bride. You know, he's mostly dead. Not all the way. And that's all science can do, is bring back somebody who's mostly dead. But once you've gone into the arms of God, once you face judgment, they ain't bringing you back. Okay? It ain't happening. Trust me on this one. Once you face judgment, done. And it's either going to be the left with the goats or the right with the sheep. I got those correct, didn't I? Here we go. We're going to each die. We're going to face that judgment. And Jesus tells us that he's waiting there for us. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of the many. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. This is the guy who's sitting on the roof. You remember all the flood jokes? And you got radio reports, leave town, the floods are coming. Get in the boat, the floods are coming, the helicopter comes, the floods are coming, the guy dies, and he says, "Well, God, I pray." Each time he said, "Nope, God will protect me, God will save me." And he dies and he gets to heaven, and God says, "Well, what are you doing here?" He said, "Well, I thought you were going to get me. I sent you a radio transmission, I sent you a car, I sent you a boat, I sent you a helicopter." "Well, here, we got into the boat, or we got into the car, or we got in the helicopter. Salvation came and took us out of that floodplain of sin and brought us to salvation. Different place. We are now behind that permanent levy of the salvation of Christ. And the penalty of sin no longer can overwhelm and wash us away. The gospel is what this is. And the writer to the Hebrews was intentionally laying out how superior the new covenant is over the old, on how once and for all we're done. The work has been completed. We don't have to be slicing and dicing at the altar anymore. We don't have to be traipsing back and forth up there time and again to get salvation anew each and every time. No, in fact, God's Word tells us that we are saved once for all. That's all. All is rather an encompassing word, is it not? All. What's not included in that? Isn't anything not included? He died once for everybody in all their sins. Not just the whoopses, but even the intentionals. As long as what? We repent of our sins and we're sorry that we did them. That is, repent means turn from the sin and turn towards God. Previously, it was you bring up a goat, they slaughter it, sprinkle you with a little water and blood and say, "Go on your way. Next." Get the whole production line going. And you got to go, "Come back next year, we'll get your booster." Now we're done. We go to the cross and we say, "Jesus, I receive the work you did on the cross. Cover me with your blood. And now I'm done." But for Him to be my Savior, He has to be my Lord. That means I have to repent of my sin. I have to turn to Him. I can't say, "God, I want you in my life as an advisory capacity. As a matter of fact, God, I'd like you to kind of like keep quiet most of the time." No, that's not the way it works. It's, "God, I submit myself to you. I receive your work on the cross, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior." Lord and Savior. We keep saying, "Well, yeah, that means He's my boss, right? It's a little bit more than that." I can sometimes tell my boss, "No. Can't do that with God." We can tell Him no. We're going to lose. I tried it once. Okay, I tried it more than once. But to really have Him be our Lord, otherwise we're in rebellion. And then He's not our Lord. And He's there. He was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. The writer of Hebrews is telling those people that all that went on in the temple, that sacrifice, it's done. And then all they have to do is wait upon the Lord's return. Now, I know I'm going to get an amen when Lorraine listens to the audio cassette. And we're going to say, our job is to wait eagerly for the Lord. And we know that that's her heart. And that should be the heart of each and every one of us, to eagerly be waiting for the return of our Lord. And now I ask you this question. Are you eagerly awaiting the return of your Lord? Are your friends and family? Maybe they need to hear this good news too. Maybe you need to take it to heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You have indeed died once and for all. You died one time to cover all sin, and You died for all, for each and every one who ever was, is, and ever will be. That all who will receive You as Lord and Savior can partake of Your salvation. Lord, we thank You that we have received Your mercy and Your grace. Help us to be faithful in sharing it, that good news, with our friends, our family, those we meet. Lord, might we move away from the law and that first covenant, but instead stand as children of the God, ever of the living God, and receive the inheritance that is ours as Your children, those who have been adopted anew through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the sealing of the Holy Spirit. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.